Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. And today we're going to be joined by modified driver Harley Dice. We're also going to hear from Corey from Byers Racing Engines and our old friend Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings right after a few words from our sponsors. Napa Know
How! Winter is on the way. Is your car ready? Don't wait until the first winter storm to find out your car isn't prepared. Napa Auto Parts is here to make sure your battery is tested, your headlights are working, and your antifreeze and windshield wipers are winter ready. A quick seasonal checkup now means safer, smoother driving all winter long. Let Napa Auto Parts help give you peace of mind on the road, because preparation today keeps you moving tomorrow.
Napa Know-How! Are you ready to take your flavor game to the next level? Reach for the award-winning sauces and seasonings from Cookies. Our flavor-enhancer all-purpose seasoning and rub is a popular combination of spices that's delicious in marinades, on meats, and anything that needs a flavor kick. And don't forget about our full line of sauce, including our Korean barbecue sauce. It's the one that puts an Asian twist on some of our favorites like chicken wings, pork, seafood, and more. Get game-changing recipes at CookiesBBQ.com. And remember, smart cookies use Cookies.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor is your family-owned club car dealer in Blooming Prairie. If you're considering a new or new-to-you golf cart or utility vehicle, stop and talk to Doug Miner today. With over 20 years in business and extensive product knowledge, we'll help you find the right golf cart or utility vehicle to fit your needs and budget, whether you're looking to golf or just need a ride around the farm or campground. Stop at Miners today to check out your options.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
When it comes to choosing your next industrial, commercial, residential, and ag electrician, choose Coles Electric. Hi, this is Steve Cole. Coles Electric offers pole setting, directional boring, underground trenching, boom truck service. We also update your lighting to new energy-efficient LEDs for years of reliability and service. Planning, design, or 24-hour service, see ColesElectric.com or call 507-451-1387.
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force Load Machines and develop the Ultra Force Suspension Software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at weirsmachine.com, ultraforcetech.com, and the all-new circletrackapp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
Maximize your ag door clearance. Hi, this is Callie at Powerlift Doors by French Manufacturing. Get the full use of the height and width of your current opening every single time, ensuring easy, stress-free passage for your biggest combines and tractors. Choose Minnesota-made, high-quality Powerlift Doors. See powerliftdoors.com or call 507-374-9306. We stand behind every job we do.
This is Justin Milky from Milky Oil Company, this region's premier BP race fuel dealer, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by modified driver Harley Dice. And Harley, you grew up in Winona, Minnesota. What are your earliest memories of racing or race cars as a kid?
Pretty minimal, really. My dad was a drag racer, so I remember brief moments hanging around his trailer and running in and out of there when we were little and hanging around his drag car. I didn't really get into dirt racing till I was about 14, 15. So, I mean, I went and watched the races probably once or twice a year over at Fountain City. I was like 9 through 13 or whatever, but I was never really a die-hard, go-in-the-pits-every-night kind of kid. But yeah, I'd say that was probably my only really memory around race cars when I was little was around my dad's drag car stuff, because when I was little, we were always traveling the country racing bikes.
The neat thing is you basically jumped headfirst into racing. You started your career in B-mods. How does that conversation come up when you're 14, 15 years old? Hey, let's go out and buy a B-mod and go racing.
So I was good friends. Well, not good friends with Jake Tim, but we're pretty much relatives with Jake Tim because Emma is related to our family. Then whatever, we were just kind of in that loop. But yeah, I don't know. I was racing BMX, traveling the nation, doing that. And then I was a freshman in high school. I told my dad, I just said, I just don't want to do it anymore. We were always traveling and like super, super far and wasn't really involved with anything. I was just like, yeah, I want to be done with this. So then I was kind of in the motocross deal for a few months and then talking to Emma Tim. And about this year was when I started kind of going to the racetrack super heavy. And I was like talking to Emma and I was like, hey, you know, I'm kind of thinking about maybe getting one of these. I think a hobby stock would be a good thing for me to try. And then she talked to Jake and then they all told me don't go to a hobby stock because if you ever move up a class, you're going to have to relearn everything because the suspension is so much different. You know, it's on a J-bar and whatever. So they're like, if you're going to get something, get in a B-mod because then if you switch to a modified or a late model or whatever, it's all going to act somewhat the same. So in the motocross, I had this brand new dirt bike I just bought, and Dad said he wasn't going to buy me a car. So then I sold the dirt bike that weekend and gave my dad an envelope with it was like $6,500 or $7,000. And then we went and picked up our first B-Mod for $7,500 turnkey.
It probably made your mom's day that day you bought a race car with a roll cage instead of that motorcycle.
Yeah. I don't know. She's never really been that worried about the stuff I did. I'd say the BMX was more dangerous than what I do right now. I mean, definitely motocross is super dangerous. That's kind of half the reason I didn't want to get into it because I didn't want to be all screwed and plated together by the time I was 25. So, yeah, we just ended up getting in one of these things. And, yeah, my mom still thinks I can't go fast enough. She always gets worked up that I'm slow or whatever. I ain't going fast enough. I need to hit the gas harder. And yeah, I think my dad gets more worried about what's going on than she does. She's just worried about me not going fast enough.
Let's go back to that first car, the black 87H. What is the story behind the chassis and the engine?
It was a 2010 GRT. I don't know. We went and looked at some car out in the Pickers where we live. And it was an absolute heap. And he wanted the same amount of money. And I mean, he said it had a brand new crate motor in it. He fired it up. It sounded like a bucket of bolts. Transmission squealing. It was like a 3-speed manual that he took first and second out of. I mean, the whole thing was just a complete trap. And we left that. And we had a couple other family members that were into racing. And, you know, we kind of mentioned to them that we were going to get into it. They kind of scouted around and were like, hey, we got this kid in town, Nick Wagner. He's got a car that he used to race that's just been sitting on his lift. They're like, well, we'll go check it out. He had it up on a lift at a shop. It was really nice. So we checked it out, and we didn't know what we were looking at. You know, my dad was a drag race guy, and I raced bikes. So I was like, yeah, I don't know. It seems to work. It looks like a race car, blah, blah, blah. Had a 602 crate motor in it. He said it was low night. I think it was, but, you know, how do you tell? And I learned how to drive it out of the shop that day. I was a little nervous to do that and load it on a trailer. And, you know, after that, we just kind of started to figure out a game plan.
What is the story behind the number 87H?
So my motocross number was 287 because that was like my birthday. So it was 020807, February 8th, 2007. So I was thinking about doing 287 for my car, but then I was like, well, nobody has a three-digit number and I don't want to be the weird oddball out. So then I just ended up doing 87, which is the eighth day of seventh year. And then H for my letter, my first name, first initial.
After learning to drive the car the first time out of the shop you bought it from, what track did you turn your first laps in your B-Mod, and did it feel comfortable right away?
Mississippi Thunder was the first spot we went to. We had like a private day all by ourselves or whatever. And no, I mean, I felt fine in the car, and I felt like I was going like 100, and I think I was going probably 25. Like, it was absolute molasses. And, yeah, I don't know. I just kept picking away at it that day. And, I mean, by the end of it, I'd say I was probably going at least 38. But, I mean, I wasn't going fast by any means. But I was feeling more comfortable. And I was a little nervous at first. But I was just trying not to get too worked up about it, make it any harder than it was already going to be.
That's where we saw you for the first time was Mississippi Thunder Speedway, and we were very impressed with how fast you were early in your B-Mod career. The competition at Mississippi Thunder is stout, and if you can run with them, you can virtually run anywhere.
Yeah, that's no doubt. And I feel like I've always struggled at MTS in my whole career compared to other raceways. I don't know, I just feel like my speed was never as good. Like, I had wins at Deer Creek and Mason City and Hamilton County and here, there, and the next spot. And I felt like it took forever to finally get one at MTS. But once I got one, we couldn't really stay away from Victory Lane, which was a good thing. But, yeah, I mean, Ryan Olson, he's always super good. I feel like he's always been kind of the hometown B-Mod staple at Mississippi Thunder. Yeah, I mean, all those guys, especially last year, Cruz and Galgi and Kennedy and Hovden every once in a while and Modri. I mean, yeah, the B-Mod field is super stacked. I feel like you could have 12 to 15 cars that all have the same shot at winning. Just depends how lucky they get at the draw booth, really.
You picked up your first B-Mod feature win at Deer Creek Speedway and led every single lap. What did that race feel like in the car from start to the checkered flag?
I was definitely nervous on the start. I don't know if that was my first race rolling off of the pole. I don't think it was, but it was definitely fresh. And, yeah, I don't know. I led till halfway, and I was just sitting in my line, and nobody passed me yet, so I figured it had to been working pretty good. And, yeah, once I seen the white and seen the checkered, and I was super excited. You know, nobody ever challenged me for it. I didn't have to really fight hard for it, which was nice. But, yeah, I was definitely super excited. The first Victory Lane interview was probably pretty botched. I didn't really know what I was doing yet or what to say or any of that. But, yeah, it was a pretty cool experience.
One night we were at the track. There was problems early. You actually got sent to the rear, and you came all the way from the back to win. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that one I had to work hard for, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like my kryptonite as a race car driver is a draw booth. I don't know. Since I've started, I feel like I've always been at the back and had to work hard for it, which, I mean, I guess helps me in the long run, trying to get around other cars and learn how to pass and how to judge other people's speed and where they're going or what their car's doing to judge where I need to be. Yeah, that was a fun race for sure.
Was that your most memorable B-Mod race, or which one was?
No, I think the K-Town Clash, by far. That one was super electric. I started deep, and I had to work super hard. It was a long lap feature, which was good. I needed the laps. Yeah, me and Dan Hovden traded sliders for a few laps, and me and him went three wide with a lap car. I think we were about a car width and a half. I mean, we were literally wheel to wheel. I mean, it was 12 wheels all touching at the same time, and nobody hopped or jumped or got out of control. And then I had a bunch of family members down there, too, which made it even better. It was the biggest race of the year, and there's a bunch of out-of-towners there that came, had a family from North Dakota that came to watch, and another family out of Red Wing that came to watch. So to win that one, especially the way we had to win it, was really sweet.
And those type of races for the fans to watch top talented drivers inches apart just duking it out and trying to get past each other for first, second, or third, that really brings the crowd alive.
Yeah, I think me and Dad were just talking about this the other day. I think a lot of times as drivers and racers in the pits, we forget the people in the bleachers watching. You know, like we're always all have to get on the pole and just run away with it and have a single file garbage track, so it's just a gravy win. But without the fans getting fired up for it, there ain't going to be any racing left anymore. So, yeah, and especially in the seat, too, you know, if you're racing hard like that, it's really exciting. And to try to keep your emotions and whatever under control, to be able to maintain smooth lines and hit your marks and know where you got to be, it makes it a lot of fun.
Would you recommend the B-Mod division to any young driver interested in getting started in racing, and why?
Yeah, definitely. I just think it's just the same way as I went through it, you know. It's a good class to learn, and all the guys in there are fairly clean. We never really had a problem. And yeah, I think it's taught me a lot, especially if you start with a slow package and an old car. So if you wreck it, don't go out and buy the shiniest new, you know, don't go buy a J2 and then go to KS and buy a brand new open motor and have $65,000 tied up in a B-Mod to see if you like it or not. Go buy the old local guy's turnkey operation for, like I did, $7,000 to $8,000. And you might go out there and take five laps and say you hate it, or you might love it, or you might wreck it. But yeah, I think try to get a nice piece for cheap and try it out and see if you like it.
Then you made another huge jump early in your career, modifieds. How did that decision come about?
We were kicking it around, and we were just trying to make sure that we felt like there was enough accomplishment in our BMOD program to make it feel like it was worthwhile to jump up to a modified, because a lot of times you see, not a lot of times, but, you know, there's times that you'll see people jump in a modified, and you're like, they should not be in a modified. I just wasn't trying to be labeled as that guy. You know, I was trying to make sure that I showed into my BMOD that I had car control. I can put the car where I need to and stay out of trouble and win races and stay consistent. You know, we weren't like a one-hit wonder where we'd get lucky once a year. You know, we were consistently good no matter where we unloaded. And we almost won the national title last year. Dad wanted to stay in BMOD again so we could try to secure that. But I don't know, I feel like the younger you are in your career, if you can move up to a bigger class and perform, that it's better off for getting your name out there. I feel like you see a lot of guys in BMODs that'll sit and race BMODs for 20 years, and I just don't see the point in that, I guess. Maybe when I get older, maybe I will, but I feel like to get to my end goal, I needed to move up, and I needed to try to show I can prove myself in a higher talent, higher speed, more precision and adjustment, and I had to go to prove my career.
What does your dad, Damon, mean to you?
He's definitely the staple of the crew, no doubt. Without him or my mom or my sister, I wouldn't be able to do any of this for sure. Yeah, he's a big support and a big help. And I mean, my whole family in general, without those guys, nothing would be possible. And even when we were racing bikes, it was always me and Dad up and down the road. Yeah, he definitely, he makes it happen for sure.
2025 started off with an interesting twist. You actually hurt your good motor and had to switch to a backup engine.
Yeah, so the whole ignition system in A-Mod is completely different from a B-Mod, and we didn't know that. Well, we knew that, but we didn't know how it needed to be put together. So long story short, we had a burble, you know, at the practices, and we thought it was carburetor fuel related or whatever. So we changed out about everything. And yeah, we were at Deer Creek and we were making a bunch of sessions, and I was still popping and banging. Then it kind of laid over and I just shut it off. Turns out we cracked a couple pistons, blah, blah, blah. And then in all of this, Josh Angst and Dave Angst, they were pretty much the primary helpers in this whole deal, trying to get the burble figured out. Like, they were lending us distributors and rev boxes and carburetors and this, that, and the next thing. And yeah, once we figured out, we blew it up. I made that post on Facebook. I had a couple people reach out to me, and it just didn't seem like the right opportunity. Then Dave called my dad and said, hey, I got an old steel-headed 377 that we used to race super long time ago. It hasn't been touched. He said, you know, if you throw it in and it grenades and you bring it back in 5-gallon buckets, he said, perfect. So that's what kind of made it seem like a no-brainer for us. Not that we were trying to screw anybody over like that. Like, we would have definitely tried to make it right no matter what. But we just didn't want to take somebody's nice Ford 15 Mullins or whatever and go melt that down too. And then that would have been our year of trying to figure out how to pay for somebody else's $30,000 motor. So yeah, that's kind of how that went about. The wires off the rev box that go to the distributor are black and purple and green and purple, and the purples don't go together, believe it or not, like times at 180 out or something stupid. Like, it'll sit there and idle just fine, you know, and you can whack on it and it'll be just fine, but as soon as you go put it under load at like 5,000 or whatever, then it starts to lean it out or richen it up or whatever. It advances the timing. So yeah, that's how that went about, and then we put the steel-headed 377 in, and yeah, that was history on that deal.
Your team made the trip to Fairmont Raceway in August. Thoughts on ripping around Midwest's fastest half mile, and then you went on to Hamilton County Speedway, which is another great facility with a lot of racing history. How did you like those two tracks?
I've never been a huge fan of half miles, just because of how hard it is on the motor, especially Fairmont. It feels like the motor never gets a second to breathe. You know, it's always wound out at like 7,000 RPM is like the lowest you'll see on the speedway, it seems like. But I mean, it was fun. It was super fast. Kind of scary right away, sending them the car in there at 108 or 10 or whatever and hoping it sticks and all that. I actually really enjoy Hamilton. Even though it's a half mile, I feel like it doesn't race as big as it looks, especially once it slicks off. It really slows down and races pretty well. Yeah, I would say Hamilton would be my favorite of those two half miles, but Fairmont's super, super fast. I just don't like how wound out the motor is. That's the only thing I don't like about Fairmont, really.
Memories of the first time you pulled on the track with the USMTS series?
Pretty minimal, I think. I think the reason I really don't remember it is because we didn't make the show, so I wasn't in the big four-wide salute with the flags and all that. I remember qualifying like garbage, which was to be expected because it was early on in our career. My heat race was subpar, but that's just because we were so new, I think. We didn't really have much time to figure out the setup for me, which that took a lot of time. Yeah, I don't know. The memories with USMTS have been pretty foggy, I'm not going to lie.
You and I both enjoy racing history. You follow the retired race cars and abandoned racetrack guys on Facebook as well. The history and the story behind what's happened before us is very cool.
Yeah, no doubt. I always hear about all the old legends, especially at MTS when it was a trioval. I really wish I'd have been able to see that trioval speedway. Everybody tells me stories about it all the time, and it sounds awesome to like be there and live through that. Especially all the old race cars people used to race. You hear people talking about it, and you always just wonder what it'd be like to drive those, or like compare an A mod of 2010 to an A mod of now. You know, like what would be the pace difference? I think a lot of that would be interesting to see.
I have a feeling you would be one of those guys in all the trioval stories that could hold their foot down going straight towards that cement wall before they made a sharp turn.
Yeah, I always hear stories about that all the time. One of my crew guys, he's an older guy, Jeff Grussell, and he tells me stories all the time about the trioval days. He used to pit for Steve Speltz and all those guys. He'd tell me about the stories of them blowing up motors, and they'd drop the crank out of it that night and put some other crank in it out of something else. And as long as it made it 30 laps perfect, and they'll put new pistons in it tomorrow. And yeah, you just hear a lot of that. Like they're just happy slapping stuff together so it'll make it a couple laps, and they'll get another whatever tomorrow, or they got another set of pistons and rods on the shelf. Or yeah, I feel like that'd be a fun time to live through, just thrashing on all that stuff, trying to just make it survive a little bit so they can fix it the next day.
The end of August, we saw you at Deer Creek Speedway, the two-night late model event with the SLMR late model series. You ended the night with a DNF, which rarely happens with your team. What happened that night?
Yeah, I believe I was ran over. I started, I want to say like 12th or somewhere in there. Don't quote me on that, but I was making my way through the field, running the top, and we were working by this lap car, and I got ran over by a guy on the inside. And after that, my steering felt a little funny, and then another five laps or so went by, and the left front started to chatter real bad. But I was like, well, that's fine. I'll just stay in her. Because normally I won't pull off the track unless the car says I can't drive anymore. And then after I started picking up that chatter, it was probably another lap or two, and the power steering went out. But it didn't go out. The left front was starting to snap off, but I didn't know that. I felt like it was the power steering going out. So then I normally race one-handed, but then I started two-handing the wheel, and then I did that for like a lap and a half, then I pitched it into turn one, and I literally couldn't turn the steering wheel. I pitched it in, it started to spin, and I was two-hand death gripping, just turning with all my might. And I'd have raced it like that if it would have turned. If the steering wheel would have moved, I'd have raced it like that, gorilla gripping it for 30 laps or whatever it was. But yeah, it spun out, and the left front, like, upper adjuster deal snapped off and went into the radiator and bent a shock. But yeah, we don't like DNFs. I try to stay out of trouble as much as I can. Normally I can see the wrecks and spinouts that are going to happen. Yeah, luckily DNFs aren't common for us, but that was one of them.
You ended the season second in modified points at Deer Creek Speedway with all the incredible talent at that track. Then we were at Mason City Motor Speedway the night you secured the track championship there in your very first year in a modified, and you're currently sitting second in USRA National points. thoughts on this first season?
Yeah, insane, really. When we first got this car and we were talking about plans for the year, we were just kind of giving her, we'll maybe race Basin City here and there, and we'll do two nights a week and race Basin City when we feel like it. We probably won't do any USMTS stuff, but I think it was the first night or the second night in the modified, it was the season opener at Basin City we won, which was the second night in the car. And then we're like, well, I guess we're running Basin City all year because we had the point lead. And, yeah, I don't know, the grind really never stopped after that. We raced all we could. Yeah, we never thought we'd be in the spot. We were just kind of going to play it by ear this year. And about halfway through, we looked at national points and we're like, all right, we're in fifth or fourth or whatever. And we're third in rookie of the year. We're like, hey, we're actually shaping to be pretty decent this year. And then, yeah, never expected to be here for sure.
Most memorable race so far in your AMOD career?
Yeah, probably at Deer Creek. Me and Zach Brom traded some slide jobs for the win. It was super wet up top. I think I started from the pole or something like that. And I was just running the top, and I was gone. But then I got tight and got all wadded up in the wall. And then Zach got under me, and I don't know, I think we traded sliders for like three laps. And then, yeah, after that, I snuck away with it, and that one was pretty cool. I'd really like to get one at MTS, no doubt. I don't know when that'll be. Probably the same deal as the B-Mod, it'll take forever because everybody is just good, and I just feel like I don't carry the same speed around MTS as I can everywhere else, so I don't know why. I haven't figured that out yet, but yeah, I'd say that's probably my most memorable one.
You recently took a trip to Oklahoma, and it is amazing the amount of help people will give you when you're on the road and hundreds of miles from home.
Yeah, I was really not wanting to go just because it was such a far trip, and I really wanted to race the Jamboree because that's such a prestigious event up where we're from. But me and Dad, we didn't really talk about it, and then this was like Wednesday, and I was like, yeah, whatever, we can go. And yeah, we went down there, and we unloaded, and everybody was staring at us, you know, like we were aliens. And you know, we just kind of broke the ice and started talking around to some people, and then we actually became really good friends with the Reed family that lives down there. And yeah, we were hanging around Saturday, and he's like, hey, you know, if you guys need a spot to wash tomorrow, because I was telling him how we're gonna have to go find a car wash so we could wash the car before we got to Wheatland. And he's like, well, I got a shop, I'll bring my pressure washer down there and you guys can wash up there. So I was like, sweet. And then, yeah, we went there and unloaded, and I got to washing, and Dad and James, they were hanging out in the shop or whatever, and James asked Dad if we liked spaghetti, and we said, well, for sure. And so one of his family members invited us over to their house for spaghetti dinner, and we sat there and hung out and joked and laughed and all that. And then when we were getting about ready to leave, the wife asked if we wanted any leftovers, if we had something to eat, and we're like, yeah, we love leftovers. So she set us up with two Tupperwares of spaghetti, and we took that home and got back on the road, and we got to Wheatland about midnight last night. But we never really travel very far. You know, the farthest we've ever gone is Wheatland once a year or like Hamilton County. So we don't really need any of the help like that. So it was really cool to experience that.
And when the season finally comes to an end, you still can't hang up your need for speed. You're into snowmobiling as well.
Yeah, I actually just bought not a new sled, but as new as I can get for the class that I like to race. I just picked up a Ski-Doo 600, so I got to dial that in once the race season's over. I ain't got no time to touch that right now. But once Wheatland's over and, you know, we get the motor pulled out of the car and the dust settles, I'm all into snowmobiles, man. I think I got about six or seven of them sitting back home. It's something I love, and they run a thing called Sunday Fun Day, and it's a little race series they got on Sunday that goes to a bunch of different snowcross tracks. So me and my buddy Mason Hale, we're going to go chase that around all winter. Yeah, that's another thing I love to do.
How can you follow that series so fans can come watch you race sleds?
I'll probably post on my racing Facebook, just so they can check it out if they want to. one big event. It's called the Ditch Banger Nationals. It's all vintage sleds. I think the newest one you can have is 2001, and it's an absolute blast. There's hundreds and hundreds of sleds in each class. They got like six classes. The one class I wanted to race had like 130 sleds, and it was capped. So I had to go to a different one that was like 118. And I think they have like four or five heats of like 30 sleds, and they take like the top five out of each one, and then they have two B mains of like an insane amount of snowmobiles, and they only take like the top three. That's a super fun event. It's just crazy. People bring big semi toter stacker haulers and unload like eight skidoos that are just fully decked out for snowcross. I mean, I ain't on that type of level yet, but yeah, it's a blast to race snowcross. I mean, it's brutal on the body. The trenches and the ruts and the moguls that you dig out on a snowmobile are absolutely insane, and you're just slapping your body against the snowmobile for like 15 minutes straight, but it's a blast.
Well, you can't take the race on the road without some great sponsors. Who sponsors your car this year?
My two biggest supporters, Dennis Roofing, he's the biggest one. Five Star Amusements is a really big supporter as well. Jim's Truck and Trailer, Remlinger Properties, Bill's Towing, Rain Quarter Horses, LaCour Electric, CPD Race Shocks, Horman's HVAC, Altura Plumbing and Heating, Riverland Trucking, Norman's Electrical Supply, Grow Source, Dice Properties, Farmers Insurance, J&S Cattle, Winona Welding and Sandblasting, Jackson Photography, BK Engines, Miller Scrap and Disposal, MGM Wine and Spirits, Mitch Welch Realty, Grandma and Grandpa Dice, Island City RC, Nut Shack, Merchants, Centerville Homes, 507.co, Lake Excavating. Special thanks to Strelo Family and Fritz and Solveig and Anonymous. You don't want a name out there. And my mom, dad, sister, all my family members and stuff like that. I wouldn't be able to do it without them for sure. And all my crew guys, Cole Kaler, Jeff Grussell, Matt Grussell, Kyle Grussell, in the past few years. And I got some big news I can drop, a little sneak for you before we drop it on Facebook. Me and Jake Tim and Cole Kaler, we're going to be coming out with a new style Rage chassis that you'll only be able to get through us. It'll be called Rage X. That'll be getting dropped pretty soon. We haven't got it really ironed out yet. So, yeah, that's a little sneak for you. So, I'll be a dealer for the new Rage Modified. We'll also do B-Mods, too.
Harley, it has been amazing to watch your career so far and how fast it's progressed. Good luck the rest of the season, and I hope to catch you on a snowmobile this winter. That would be great to watch, and thanks for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me. It's been pretty cool.
Does the thought of raking your leaves and hauling them away frighten you? If so, call Wolf and Sons at 455-3524, and they'll take the fright out of your fall.
Arrow Race Wheels is a leading manufacturer of high-quality steel racing wheels for both dirt and asphalt racing. Arrow Racing Wheels are built right here in North Iowa. This U.S. company's premium race wheels have been designed to put drivers on the top of the podiums for over 25 years. If you want to run with the winners, see arrowracewheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Foamcraft Packaging is a small, family-owned company and has been in business since 1988. Hi, I'm Donna Ayers, and I own Foamcraft along with my husband, Bob. We specialize in quality, affordable, custom foam and wood packaging. Let our professional staff of designers, engineers, and manufacturers create a packaging solution that fits your needs and budget. Located at 400 Alexander Drive in Owatonna, Minnesota. Give us a call at 507-455-2893. Look us up at foamcraftpackaging.com.
Midwest Collision.
Dedication to excellence. That's what sets Midwest Collision of Faribault apart from other collision repair shops. Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will spend as much time as it takes on your vehicle to guarantee it leaves the shop looking and operating as good as new. Contact Midwest Collision today at 507-332-2434.
Midwest Collision. You're bad, don't we bad, don't.
In 2009, the Outlaw Mini Mod Racing Series was organized by Batwing Chassis founder Nathan Kilwine. Today, you can find the Outlaw Mini Mod class running at tracks like Chateau Speedway, Mason City Motor Speedway, Stewart Speedway, and Worthington Speedway, plus other tracks around southern Minnesota, North Iowa, and Wisconsin. Join the fun by becoming a driver or follow their 18-race Black Iron MFG Outlaw Mini Mod Series Point Championship schedule as a fan. Batwing Chassis. Fast, affordable fun. See BatwingChassis.com.
Here's one of the most incredible lubricating products ever made, Justice Brothers JB80. It's twice as good at lubricating just about everything around the home, shop, and your car. JB80 has a penetrating action that goes straight to the problem areas and even the tightest places. Try JB80, the incredible spray lubricant that's twice as good, and it's guaranteed to satisfy or your money back.
See our display at Runnings.
Tell them Ed Justice Jr. sent you.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Corey at Byers Engine Service in Rochester. And again, we're sitting in our favorite spot in a shop back in the dyno room, looking at a super cool blower motor sitting on the dyno right now. And Corey, a week ago, we attended the Red Clay Classic at ABC Raceway in Ashland, Wisconsin. And one of our local Minnesota drivers, Dexton Cook, mentioned on the podium after finishing second that his motor had laid down in the last few laps. And engines are definitely getting tired this time of year.
Oh, yes, it is the time. Everybody usually runs them right to the end, especially with how much everything costs anymore. You got to kind of budget a little bit, and I don't blame anybody for trying to squeeze an extra a night or two out of them, but it is usually gets to their, you know, it depends on who, what class it is, and, you know, some are like a 20-night freshen, some are a season freshen, but yeah, it's time.
Something like that, does that require a full rebuild?
Every one of them's different. You know, there's a lot come in that are just basically a freshen. So usually, you know, rings, bearings, valve springs, stuff like that. And there's other ones that air cleaner got knocked off one night and I decided to keep running it and it ate a bunch of dirt or something or a poor quality oil or something. And it, you know, dug up the cylinders a little bit, wore the cylinders. We don't see it as much as we used to, but it's still one of them things. There's lifespans on parts. There's only so many heat cycles a piston can take. You only come to only so many RPM times you can beat on a rod. You know, that kind of deal.
So what you're saying is if something does happen, the quicker you can pull off, get out of the throttle, and shut that switch off is probably going to save you a lot of money.
Yeah, usually you can. There's sometimes that there's nothing much you can do. It cleans out everything. I've had it happen to myself. And there's other times that, yeah, if you can get out of there sooner or catch something soon enough, it's a pretty simple economical fix compared to a catastrophic failure.
We have also talked about use. What are you using the motor for? How hard do you plan on pushing it? The USAC Silver Crown show on the mile at Springfield, Illinois a few years ago, those motors were literally at full song for 100 laps. That is excessive wear on an engine.
Yeah, that's a lot of, you know, the mile, the half mile. Anything usually bigger, you know, half mile or bigger is very, very rough on stuff. Just because you're holding RPM for a long time and either you don't come off the throttle much or you're coming off a little bit and like I say, that RPM is, and of course, it also does depend on how hard you spin it. But again, more RPM, the harder it is on stuff.
Yeah, I bumped into Brandon Davis and talked to him about Fairmont Raceway. Had seen him out there this year, and just listening to his motor, he never lifted at Fairmont. He had that car set up so he didn't have to lift. And when you have a car flat on the floor around the Midwest fastest half mile, that's a lot of strain.
Yeah, yes it is. Yes it is. You know, when you used to run Otana and stuff, if you were going to break something, that's the track that the problems were going to show up. You could race all year long at like the City of Charles or one of the smaller tracks was running race all year long on there. You go to Otana and that's when the problems are going to, any defect or something's going to show up there.
Advances in technology.
You can literally order a carburetor that you can drop on your intake, and it's set up for that application and literally ready to go now. I'm sure you've seen everything from exotic fuel systems to some very medieval systems on some of the old vintage stuff that you work on here, and that all affects what you do to the motor internally.
Yeah, any of that stuff. It's mainly adjustments, I guess, and what we found is that it's not so much the race guys and stuff like that, because they're usually you buy a race car and it's built for your deal. We have issues with street car guys and either buying, interneting it and buying too small a carburetor. The carb's built for your engine, but you buy a specialty carb from Braswell, something like that. They can build it exactly for you and bolt it on, and within a few jet sizes, you're usually pretty good. But like you buy out of the box Holley, out of the box Eldebrock, they're made for a certain range, which helps with the dyno tuning deal, because you get a carb that's built for something big and you put it on something small. They work, but the calibration in between is not out of the box. That's where it takes the adjustments and all that messing around.
The history inside these walls at Byers Engines is amazing. The three of you working here all are car and tractor enthusiasts and bring the passion that you have to work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mike here runs a very aggressive pulling tractor. I have a drag car and a high-performance street car deal I've done. And Jim's been around the dirt track stuff for years upon years. It helps when you have knowledge on it. If you broke your own stuff, so you kind of know what to look for and what to expect and what works and what doesn't work. Because in the end of the day, I don't want my customers to break their stuff. I mean, it's expensive and no fun. I don't like to get that call. And so I do everything I can to avoid that call. It's spend a little extra time on something. Try to talk them into a little bit better part. That's the way anything is today. Sometimes you're stuck with the quality of the manufacturers too.
The big news, the Camaro is finally finished after 13 years. What's the story behind that car?
I wanted a pro touring kind of car, because I have a drag car and it's streetable and everything, but it's only a two-seater. And I have, well, now I have three kids, but at the time when I was looking at this, I only had two, and I wanted something we could go to, like a power cruise or something like that. So I bought this, I looked at it, I found a Cuda, and I ended up finding this Camaro. It was a few choices that I wanted, and I found this Camaro in Wisconsin and picked it up as just a shell. Ended up over the years, put all the panels on it, redid everything in it. Mini, it's got, you know, a narrow rear end mini tubbed. It's got some pretty big tires, and we did a LSX deal, 427 with 600 and some cube, or 600 some horse, 6-speed transmission, all modern inside, you know, and everything I could do to make it fun to get in and drive. Well, I finally finished it after quite a while and quite a bit of time. Other weekend, I'm getting to drive it a whole three times, but I'm getting there.
Fall is first come, first serve. The sooner you get your motor pulled out and delivered, the sooner your engine will be ready to go for installation. And when you start getting a few 40, 50 degree days in the spring, people want their stuff, so time to get it in now, right?
Yeah, that's true. So, as soon as the sun shines and the bird tweets, it seems like you get people coming in and buying race fuel and wondering about, you know, getting their stuff done, get it done in a couple week kind of thing or something like that. But yeah, the sooner the better, especially after this year, I guess, was kind of, we were quite a ways behind just because of, well, we had a ton of work. There's not many of us left. And like I said, get it in sooner than later. There's always chances of part delays. There's always chances of something, you know, machine breaking down, something like that. But usually it's, last year was a lot of parts delays and a high quantity of work.
Another specialty here at Byers Engine Service is vintage engines. Right now you have a bunch of Pontiac stuff in here. I have seen some super cool motors over the years, from flatheads to even a Ferrari. Obviously, over the years, you have built up a network to find those hard-to-find parts or even track down a donor block if the block you're working on isn't any good.
Yeah, that is fun and a headache at the same time. It's interesting to do something cool and something that's, you know, you don't see that often. I mean, we do quite a bit of Pontiac, so that's not a big deal. But I think right now there's also a, which I didn't think you saw yet, there's a white engine out of one of the old tour buses that was through Yosemite National Park. I've seen pictures of the bus. They were cool as pee. But we have, it's a giant, like a 318 motor. It looks like a bigger than a 6.7 Cummins. So, I mean, it's huge for a little baby 318. But we got one of them in here right now that we have to yank apart and basically reseal it up. They said it run real good, but they wanted it all gasketed up and stuff. But, yeah, it takes a bunch of hunting. It takes a ton of time. The weirder they are, the longer it takes. And sometimes you have to get some custom stuff made. But if that's what you want, then the Dota, to do some of that extra, the really weird, yeah, we've done the really weird.
Corey, if they've got a vintage engine, a race engine, a drag engine, a street engine, and they want to find out more about getting their project done, what are the best ways to do that, Corey?
You can get us hold of us just old school phone, 507-282-5586. On the web, buyersengine.com, or just swing in, 2915 20th Street Southeast.
Corey, it's always a blast to be here and see everything you guys are working on, and thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
No problem, bud. Thanks for what you do.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just watching Shevlin Enterprises picking up our trash.
That was a great decision to switch to Shevlin Enterprises.
Yes, it was. Great price, great service, locally owned and operated. And remember that spring garage clean out?
Yeah, two full dumpsters, and they took care of it all.
I wish every decision was as easy as Shevlin Enterprises.
Amen to that.
Contact Shevlin Enterprises today at 507-214-8727.
Racers Cole and Kyron Anderson want to provide outstanding products for their customers at Anderson Enterprises. With their new 10-color screen printer, your t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and vests will stand out from the rest. Anderson Enterprises also provides embroidery on sweatshirts, jackets, beanies, baseball caps, blankets, and more. Mention this Dirt Show ad and receive 10% off your next order. Contact Anderson Enterprises in La Center at 507-351-9244 or AndersonEnterprises.net. Set yourself apart from the rest.
Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with a local family-owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings, longevity, trust the experts, we make it so easy. Affordable solutions, you can't go wrong. See BulldogCoatingsMN.com. Bulldog Coatings, let Bulldog protect and restore your floors.
In the United States, more than 150 million tons of steel are recycled annually. Millions of tires and approximately 160 million car batteries. Since 1972, Miskin Auto Parts has been a part of that recycling effort. This is Jim Miskin from Miskin Auto Parts. We have also helped to provide customers with quality, reusable parts locally and throughout the region with our daily shipping program. Give us a call at Miskin Auto Parts today for quality used parts, 507-684-2100. Recycle we must, and in God we trust.
Partnering with hog and cattle producers throughout the United States, Altenburg Construction has over 30 years of experience in the slat replacement business. Altenburg Construction uses a custom wash bay to ensure biosecurity for your herd. Whether you need an entire site or a single slat, stop into one of their three locations in Louisville, Minnesota, in Ziering in Washington, Iowa, and ask about their five-day guarantee. Or call 888-435-2210 or see altenburgconstruction.com.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And Speed, right now, high school, college, NFL's all kicking off. People are going to be tailgating if they're not out at the racetrack and having friends over to watch the football games, and you always got some incredible ideas to feed a big group.
Well, I do, Clay, but I was a little bit confused. I looked at the NFL roster, and I didn't see your name on any of the teams.
Sorry, I don't qualify, buddy.
Oh, boy, am I disappointed. But I'll tell you what, you and I are going to sit around the TV and have some goodies, and one of them is deviled eggs, cook until they're hard and all that stuff, but take out the yolks and then mix like a tablespoon of Spin Blend salad dressing with them. And I usually do like a half a dozen eggs, lined up with a dozen deviled eggs. Mix either Spin Blend salad dressing with them or Miracle Whip, and just a light seasoning, a flavor enhancer, not a lot. Just dust it real lightly with it. And then for every half dozen eggs that I do, dozen of the deviled eggs, put like a tablespoon of our wings and things hot sauce in with it, and mix that in with it before you fill the whites up, rather. And then crumble just a little bit of blue cheese over the top of it. And boy, is that ever good. And if you want more flavor enhancer or a little more spice, why, you can add more wings and things to it. But that's really a good one. And then another one I've got is just take and cut your hot dogs in the length a little bit wider than what a strip of bacon is, and take our flavor enhancer and brown sugar and mix it 50-50 and press that piece of bacon down into that mixture, then wrap it around that short chunk of hot dog and toothpick it, and then you can either grill it or just throw it in the oven and bake it until it's done. They are so tasty and so easy to make, plain.
And Speed, you always have incredible recipes and incredible ideas. No wonder you are becoming the official barbecue sauce of the Iowa Wild hockey team.
There you go. We're looking forward to that partnership, and I think it's going to be a fun time for both of us.
Speed, if they'd like to find out more about Cookies barbecue sauces and seasoning products or a great recipe, how can they do that?
Just go to the old cookiesbbq.com, and there's all sorts of good recipes and stuff. Click what meat you want to use or what you're looking for in a recipe, and it'll pop up there for you, Klain.
Speed, as always, thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
And remember, smart cookies use cookies.
With 40 years of experience producing quality racing components, Kevco Racing Products is excited to unveil the new Kevco Drive Shaft. Kevco Drive Shafts are 100% American made in the USA with USA sourced materials. All drive shafts are meticulously hand built and balanced on our new Superior Drive Lines Shaftmaster machine. Kevco Drive Shafts has the ability to custom build any length drive shaft in mild steel, chrome moly, aluminum, or carbon fiber. Call them today, 800-770-3550. Or online at KevcoRacing.com.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at VPRacingFuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
Extreme powder coating.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety. And Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit, along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
When you need a trailer, you want selection, service, and someone who will be there after the sale. Zach's Sales and Service in Sherburn is this region's leader in quality trailers. From H&H, Aluma, Mission, and Easy Hauler. Whether you need a utility, enclosed, dump, flatbed, or tilt trailer, Zach's Sales and Service has over 300 trailers on the ground and ready for delivery today. Contact Zach's Sales and Service today at 507-764-2299. Or see ZachsTrailerSales.com, where service is right in their name.
You don't have to choose between comfort and capability when you're behind the wheel of a 2025. 2005 Honda Pioneer 704. Rugged and reliable, it delivers the power you need on the job, the smooth shifting you want on the trail. And with Honda's exclusive quick flip seating, you'll get the versatility of seating four passengers or stowing the back seats for a full cargo bed. See the latest Honda Pioneer 704 today at Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin. For your safety, read the owner's manual, wear a helmet and eye protection, close side nets and doors, and always wear seatbelts. Honda side-by-sides are for riders 16 years and older. Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin, USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
This is Johnny Gibson, announcer for the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series, and you're listening to The Dirt Show.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.